What's up, Internet? Welcome back to another bonus episode of the Engadget Podcast. I'm senior editor Devendra Hardawar. This week, we're chatting with VR director Joe Hunting. He made a movie called We Met in Virtual Reality, which I covered last year. It was at Sundance 2022, and you can read about that at Engadget.com. Joe is launching a VR studio called Painted Clouds, which he's going to use to produce more VR documentaries, but also long-form narratives and other stories just taking place in VR. Joe has also been working with other VR creators to get their stories told, and he has a really insightful eye on this entire world. We had a great conversation about the state of VR today, VR community as well, and what Joe is thinking about doing next as one of his first projects for Painted Clouds. Take a listen. Joe Hunting, welcome to the Engadget Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on.
It's great to chat again, and I know it's been a while since you released We Met in Virtual Reality. I'm wondering, what are you trying to do now with this new VR studio that you're launching?
Yeah, it has been a while. It's been about just over a year since the film released, and it's been such a pleasure and an honor to see such a positive reception from We Met in Virtual Reality. Mm-hmm. That documentary production and the release was certainly evidence to me that there is an audience for real-time VR filmmaking, especially within documentaries. But this year, I've been laying the foundations for a much bigger project, which is a fictional narrative series. And my most recent announcement was of the studio that will lead that series to its success, which is called Painted Clouds. So really, the past year has been laying the foundations and kind of building towards a much bigger perspective and project.
Gotcha. I mean, watching We Met in Virtual Reality, I was really struck by basically how normal it seemed, right? It felt like a normal documentary. It felt like you had developed cameras that could really capture virtual reality better than the way I do when I do reviews, which is basically just, you know, screen cap what my headset is seeing. And it's kind of chaotic. It's not great. So you started building tools for that movie. Is that basically what you're kind of just finalizing and making more, I guess, more of a tool set with this studio?
Yes, absolutely. So for the production of We Met in Virtual Reality, there was an amazing camera tool that was released called VRC Lens, which a member mm-hmm. of the VR chat community created. Right. And as you describe it, it allows me as a director and a lot of other VR filmmakers to really use cinematic techniques that we would use in live action cinema in VR. So pulling focus, flying drones, creating camera movement. Mm-hmm. And it's super accessible. And using that camera in We Met in Virtual Reality is an incredible experience. And my intentions with Painted Clouds in the studio in the long term is to build more tools like that and build upon VRC Lens to mm-hmm. give it more scope and make it even more accessible to new filmmakers as well and to support my own productions.
Gotcha.
So yes, absolutely wanting to create more tools and create accessible tools as well.
So you're still building on VRC Lens? This isn't your own like separate camera at this point? You're just adding on top of it, sounds like?
At the moment, yes. That groundwork from Hirobiki, the creator, is fantastic and is certainly mm-hmm. a good tool to kind of pull apart and understand. And Hirobiki is open to that and nice. Very cooperative. And so that's our kind of starting point. But yes, in the future, I think there's certainly ways that we can build out more tools for VR filmmakers. And this is specifically using VR chat at the moment as a platform to shoot productions in and use as a kind of HQ. But perhaps there's scope as well to bring tools into Unity in a more broader sense for more kind of in-engine productions as well. So there's a lot of flexibility. I myself, as most people know, really enjoy VR chat and love that experience of filmmaking uh-huh. there. And so that's my focus at the moment.
Do you have any updates on the VR chat community? I thought you did a great job of showing how relationships were forming in We Met in Virtual Reality, but also kind of the vibrancy of that community. How have things been there over the past couple of years, especially now that people are thinking about the metaverse, or at least Mark Zuckerberg is trying to sell the metaverse and I think has kind of forgotten about it, to be honest?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. And I think, VR community and the metaverse does feel a little bit forgotten now, especially in mainstream media. I think the VR chat community specifically has certainly died down a little bit because the pandemic is kind of being resolved and we're starting to go back outside now, of course. You know, we're pretty much back to our typical lifestyles. And so that has caused a shift in people's time and availability to commit to VR. However, the communities that did that were established during the pandemic, during the previous couple of years, they're certainly still going and happening, just with less people. So that the popularity has gone down a little bit. But I would love to speak to the filmmaking community. Interestingly, within the past year, the filmmaking community has really been thriving and connecting and talking to each other and hosting screenings to collaborate and discuss different techniques and perspectives. And I hope that my documentary was part of that shift. And I've certainly been advocating a lot of VR filmmakers. And I'm actually about to run a festival, including VR short films and music videos.
Oh, cool.
Which I would love to talk about. So the VR filmmaking community.
Can you tell us more about that, by the way? Like, where is this happening and how can people access it?
Yes. Let me talk about this. So I've been curating Raindance Immersive Festival alongside Maria Rakusanova for the past 3 years, which has been a fantastic experience. And this year, because the VR filmmaking community has really grown, we wanted to celebrate VR chat made short films and music videos in the selection. And so the festival runs from the 25th of October, and so it's already had some showcase, to the 3rd of November. And I'm hosting my first short film screening this Sunday inside VR chat. But if you don't have access to VR chat, you can watch our stream on YouTube to the Raindance Immersive YouTube channel. And we'll be showing the films alongside doing a Q&A with the directors as well. And that'll run. We've got several screenings kind of running over the next month. So it's not one block of short films, one block of music videos. It's spread out so we can really engage in these long conversations about this form and this the directors specifically. So yes, cool. It's on the Raindance Immersive YouTube channel, and you can find that raindanceimmersive.com.
Can you tell us, like, I guess what sorts of stories are people telling in virtual reality now? Like, what are these short films covering? And I'd also love to know about your next project too.
Yes, I think it's interesting to look at what VR chat creators are making at the moment. There's certainly a lot of short form content, you know, that's very tailored towards TikTok or, you know, Instagram reels and that sort of thing. I've noticed. And then I've noticed a lot of very genre heavy projects. So crime thrillers or kind of dystopian dramas, a lot of films that follow genre conventions. And I think that comes from, you know, a community that is learning and are not coming from kind of a film school backgrounds and are shooting what they want to see. And they want to, you know, make films in VR that are so unachievable in live action. You know, if I was to make a Western film, I'd have to have a you know, decent sized budget and fly to different countries to get that landscape. But these filmmakers have all these different virtual worlds accessible to them. And so I've certainly seen a lot of films there, as well as a handful of documentaries and social realist films that actually about VR chat, the platform specifically as well. So there's a mix of nonfiction and fiction at the moment, which is really exciting. I would love to see more projects that are filmed with original avatars and original worlds.
Right.
That's one thing I think that's the step that a lot of directors have to take in terms of bringing their VR chat made productions into a more kind of broad and interesting perspective where you don't recognize that this is filmed inside VR chat. It becomes its own thing. And to talk about my next project, that's something I'm very passionate about. We're creating all original characters. And when I say that, I mean original avatars that the actors will wear and perform in.
We're also creating
original sets and worlds to shoot the production in. And you know, through that we'll create a cohesive art direction that I hope will sit on par with, you know, other animated films and live action projects.
Awesome. Is anybody else doing long form style projects? Because I do feel like maybe that is out of fashion with the younger generation of creatives, right? Because everyone's building for social media or building for YouTube or something. And to a certain degree, you're going shorter. Although I guess the dream of YouTube is sometimes you could just go, also go super long, as I've seen with some creators. So is anybody trying to do like more traditional narratives and more traditional documentaries between, you know, 90 minutes and 2 hours?
Not that I have seen, but there are certainly a few gems out there of kind of longer documentaries and narratives, but none that have used original worlds and assets and kind of a cohesive art direction and a narrative that flows from one point to the end. Mm-hmm. Though I would like to mention that there is a friend of mine called Kang Lu, and he has a little studio of volunteers called Studio Penrose, and he's creating short...
Oh, I know Penrose, yeah.
You do? Okay, great. Yeah. So he is creating short narrative films, but they're a part of a bigger world in a kind of a series context, but all individual stories. And so one could argue that that is long form, and I'm really excited to see his next films. I'm showing his first short film in this kind of series of bigger works at Rain Dance Immersive. And
nice.
It's going to be premiering at the festival, and so... if you're interested in seeing that, you'll see it at Raindance.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to take a look. I'm also wondering, you know, when new interactive mediums pop up, I feel like traditional creators like Hollywood tends to come a-knockin', right? I remember the 90s when Spielberg and all sorts of folks like were looking at like a CD-ROM multimedia and eventually, actually creating console games and PC games. Is anybody, you know, any big names from the mainstream kind of looking at VR media at this point?
That's a great question. Yeah, and yes, absolutely. I've been speaking with a few bigger companies that are coming from Hollywood, but what I've noticed is they're much more interested in XR. So filming entirely in VR, but actually, empowering filmmakers to shoot through a phone or shoot through an iPad or, you know, some sort of screen camera device, and then project 3D assets into the real and, you know, create stunning kind of visual effects in that way, but in a really accessible form. That's something that I've seen a lot coming from Hollywood space. There's also some companies that are creating bespoke apps for real-time VR production.
Right.
But in my experience, they've not had the same level of creativity and the ability to create all of my own stuff that VR chat really allows. So I think XR is where the Hollywood is most interested in at the moment, which I'm certainly excited about, especially when it comes to indie productions. But at the same time, I love being present in VR and really embracing that experience. So that's where I'm more excited about.
And by XR, do you mean like I've seen people talk about maybe using Unity or other like 3D engines in real time to create assets rather than build things, you know, that have to go through the whole 3D pipeline and everything. Is that kind of what you're seeing they're into?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So kind of like running a Unity program and then putting that program in to live action and maybe, you know, kind of pushing and pulling using a phone or some sort of device that's connected to the Unity program. I won't get too technical.
Yeah. I mean, we love the technical stuff, but that is that's interesting because I've seen glimpses of that, but never anybody, you know, truly making it a full-fledged project. It's also interesting that Hollywood is sort of like flirting more with virtualization, you know, in terms of the big LED screens they're using for The Mandalorian and all these big productions, but also the way James Cameron can like build Avatar with essentially a virtual camera that can move around his 3D environments. But then on the virtual side, in VR chat and everything, you guys are trying to follow traditional Hollywood techniques too and try to mimic the camera. So it seems like there is some convergence happening that's kind of fascinating.
Yes, yeah. And that's absolutely right. And there's definitely I have a lot of inspiration with Jon Favreau's work and the virtual productions screens and, you know, using that. But I find being present in VR with the headset on myself, which I'm not sure... if like James Cameron did with Avatar, perhaps he did a little bit.
I believe it was like a screen that he could move around like a virtual camera in the
right
set, like in a physical set, but he could see like some virtual elements too, from what I can gather. He certainly didn't wear a headset, but I would love for him to try one. Yeah,
right. Yes. Oh, me too. I think, you know, naturally walking around a room and having a screen to show your camera display is one thing, and that I imagine is very organic and stunning. But being present in a headset and being in the scene yourself and holding the camera and capturing the output, I find creates a much more immersive filmmaking experience for me, and a much more playful and joyful one too. Because, you know, I can look up and everyone is their characters. They're not wearing mocap to represent the characters. They just are embodying them. And obviously that experience doesn't translate completely on screen as an audience member.
Yeah.
But in terms of directing and the kind of relationship I can build with my actors and the team around me, I find that so fun. And I think there's such a future in that as well.
That's cool.
Which is, you know, what's led me to where I am now.
You brought up also different types of shooting too, like drone photography is becoming a bigger thing in documentaries and certainly in movies as well. Like Michael Bay's Ambulance is a crazy action movie filled with tons of drone photography. But the people controlling those drones are typically wearing like these crazy camera, these like headsets connected to the cameras on the drones, right? So they're immersed in a weird type of altered reality because they're still in the real world. But I guess being in virtual reality, it's not much different if you're controlling a drone camera. So again, like some weird convergence there. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice example. And I can speak to experience too with this sort of difference. I made my first short films on desktop. So I was recording my screen and I was not in VR myself. And never forget the moment of when I actually put on the headset for the first time and went from recording my screen to actually recording on a camera from within the headset. You know, suddenly I was there and I could look over my camera monitor and see the person I was filming, and I didn't have any disassociation. And I think that's quite fascinating. You know, and it's just a bit more immersive.
I think that is kind of fascinating. What are your feelings about the state of VR and I guess XR at this point too? Because things are very different than when we last chatted, right? Like Apple is getting into this game. They showed off the Vision Pro, which I was lucky enough to test when they launched that thing. It is a really wild view of immersion because it's VR, but it's also like mixed reality. How do you think about this whole virtual media landscape at this point?
Well, firstly, I'm so jealous that you got to try one.
I'm sure
so
you could put
interested.
In a developer request. Like I know they're doing
I
tests
should.
In London. Yeah.
Yes, I should. I'm so curious to understand how that feels. You know, I think obviously with Apple Vision and also what Meta are doing, there is a focus on mixed reality and XR and in trying to lay the foundations for that to grow and for people to create more projects with it. I'm obviously someone who's much more excited about VR, but generally speaking, I think the media landscape, it feels worse than when we last spoke, if
yes,
I'm to be very blunt.
I agree. Yeah.
Just to say that right now. But I'm not too fearful, you know, in terms of the projects we can create using these systems and for these systems. I think there's a really bright future there because the community is still passionate and creative people still exist and are making amazing things. And to speak to the VR community, they're thriving and creating work. So I think it's really dependent on us indie developers and creators to really keep this sort of technology going. But to speak to the hardware, I think that we are in a bit of a slump. I think it'll be up to the indie creators to foster it and keep it going in some way.
It's always the indie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And as part of like Raindance Immersive, that's something we've been talking about at the festival too, and wanting to continue fostering this level of creativity in this form of art.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I've been maybe feeling a little down on VR because I've been in it like since the early Oculus developer kits. And it feels like, you know, when I review these things, I just reviewed the Big Screen Beyond, which is pretty fantastic in terms of just how small and light it is. But at the end of the day, I am playing the same games I kind of was years ago. You know, I'm going through the same experiences, and it seems, at least from a high level development side, you know, things just aren't as exciting as they used to be. But I'm interested in what indie developers are doing. I'm interested in what you're doing, Joe. Is there any thought towards, you're essentially creating footage, you're creating VR footage to display on traditional displays, you know, to display on your normal TV. Is there any thought to like actually capturing the full-on immersive experience that somebody can put on the headset and actually be in the stuff that you're recording?
Yes, I get this question all the time, mm-hmm. and it's one that always surprises me, honestly, because I always think that, you know, people would be most interested in watching a film in a more traditional way, but more and more I'm getting mm-hmm. this question of, well, can I watch your film in 360, or how do I step into the world with the outcast? And I think that's such an exciting question. And I can just say straight away, there are 360 cameras that you can use in mm-hmm. VR chat. So instead of myself capturing a 2D, you know, or flat screen image using a camera in the space, I can instead use a 360 camera and capture, you know, the full wraparound of the scene. And so that is something I could certainly experiment with and do. And I think for my next narrative series, that could be a really fun way to engage other audiences too, and kind of create a special or a spin-off or mm-hmm. or some sort of
behind the scenes footage or something, you know. Yeah.
Oh yes, well that's a great idea. Yeah, we're going to shoot behind the scenes, I can say mm-hmm. that confidently.
Cool.
And I think a 360 element to step into the set with us would actually be fantastic. I love that idea.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're working in virtual reality, I think the hardcore fans would want to see more of that stuff actually in virtual reality. One thing I want to just mention, I don't know if you noticed this, but when Apple is showing off their immersive elements, it's not 360. It's basically 180. It's what you see in front of you, and there is some depth to it, but it's not,
yes,
you're not worrying about what's behind you. You're not worrying like what's right to the side. I do feel like maybe that is an essential thing that Apple kind of took in there, because the thing about 360 videos, sometimes you don't know where to look, right? You have to be guided to it. And maybe that's been a problem for VR. I don't know if you have any thoughts about like how they're approaching that.
Yeah, that's a great thing to bring up. I think Apple are onto something there, to be mm-hmm. honest. I think that there is, when you go into a 360 experience, so the full wraparound, there is a certain expectation as a spectator to realize, okay, I need to be aware of my entire surroundings.
Yes, and that is, you're looking at everything.
Yeah, and that is intimidating and can be quite intense as an audience. And so mm-hmm. I think Apple's approach could be a nice middle ground between traditional cinema and the full 360 experience. So perhaps that could be something I could develop further with a behind the scenes or in a full narrative. I think that's a really smart idea.
Yeah, we don't go through the world with full 360 degree awareness, you know, what's around us. Like we have our vision cones, you know, so this just seems to make sense. Yeah. In terms of hardware that's come out recently, I just reviewed the MetaQuest 3, the Big Screen Beyond, like I said, and also the PlayStation VR 2 earlier this year. How do you feel about like just the hardware coming out? Is it delivering what you think the VR fans actually need? Because we've seen features like eye tracking and you know, facial tracking and stuff being tested, but I don't know if that's like essential to the experience, right? The MetaQuest 3 doesn't have it, but I think it also still delivers great VR. Honestly, even the Quest 2 still delivers good VR.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. funnily enough, you're speaking to someone who like the only thing I want in a headset is uh-huh. built-in eye and facial tracking.
It's great. I mean, it's great when it works. Yeah,
exactly. And that is the one thing that we're really missing in hardware at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a headset that really can do that at such high fidelity that's been mm-hmm. built bespoke for both eye and facial tracking. I've been testing the XR Elite and the old Vifocus 3 and the Vive Pro I with the facial tracker and the Quest Pro as well. Mm-hmm. And all of them, you know, have merits and disadvantages as well, but don't quite do eye and facial tracking and with such high fidelity in a comfortable way, in an accessible way that I would love to use in my productions and also in social VR to just hang out and talk with friends. Yeah. And I think that would be... that's really what I'm looking for as a consumer and a professional in the space. And so that I'm praying for the day.
And, you know, the hardware is one thing. We also need the APIs to actually use it right. We need the companies to actually support this hardware well and developers to take advantage of it. So it's all a confusing thing. All I've seen from Meta when it comes to like facial and eye tracking are those weird like lifelike avatars they keep showing off, which freak me the hell out. To be honest, like it looks like weird Blade Runner inhuman faces because they're very realistic, but also they have cold, dead eyes at the same time. It's just we're experimenting with so many different things. I think we're trying to see what sticks, especially Meta has so many like different ideas. And I don't know if they're committing to anything at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really fun to bring up. I love talking about avatars. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it has been quite funny seeing how Meta are approaching their avatars.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's much creative freedom within Horizons. You know, you're quite limited in what you can do, which is immediately for me, as someone who is used to having a lot of freedom, a little bit of a disadvantage. And their leg system isn't quite working as I think it should be, which I think we can all agree on. when you look down, I'm not even sure if you can see your legs when you look down just yet, or maybe you can, but they bend in quite peculiar ways. So, I mean, when you look at VR chat, the level of fidelity that people have crafted in their avatars, you know, today and in the present day is incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, giving people that power, they can do incredible things. And to compare that to Meta, who are, you know, creating their own systems, it is difficult to see the comparison. Like VRChat, I think, is the obvious winner. But Meta obviously have some accessibility, but I think they could push their artwork much further and give people more freedom, like we see in VR chats, you know, take some inspiration perhaps. But that's my personal opinion.
For sure. I mean, I'm sure Meta is just like, can we just buy this company and just steal all their ideas? Because that's kind of how things have been working. It does feel like the difference between, the open internet and AOL's internet in the 90s, you know, like very much you have some idea of community, but it's constrained by the corporation in a way. It'll be interesting to see. Well, anything else you want to mention, Joe, about Painted Clouds or what you're working on next or what you'd like to see, you know, from people working within VR?
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Firstly, I'm very excited to have announced my narrative series, which will be in pre-production next year. But in the meantime, I'm also working on a short documentary and a music video. Amongst, you know, other future projects. But I just want to speak to right now, you can expect to see some shorter projects coming from me very soon. So I want to put that out there. And also, I hope people listening will be interested in trying VR filmmaking, jump in VR chat and experiment with the camera. And next year, I hope to be running some workshops within Painted Clouds in our VR chat world, which is tailored to host these sorts of workshops. And so if you're interested, you know, let me know and come join the community.
Awesome. Sounds good. And where can people find you online, Joe? And can they even find you right in VR chat and friend you or something?
I'm not sure if I'll get that personal yet. Maybe, you know, talk to me first. Let me please share my socials. You can find me at Joe A Hunting on Twitter and J_A Hunting on Instagram.
You'll be the guy with the camera in VR chat, so I'm sure they can find you if they're looking, right?
That's how to find me, yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you too. This has been a pleasure.
Thanks again to Joe Hunting for joining us on the Engadget podcast. Please be sure to check out his movie, We Met in Virtual Reality. That's a really compelling movie, and you can watch it right now on Max. As always, folks, let us know if you're enjoying the show or if you'd like to see more interviews like this. Drop us an email at podcast@engadget.com. Thanks, folks. We're out.